Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everyone? Jody Cameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP, and it is a great day. What a day! Because what a night! Great job of the Phillies. Absolutely superb job by the Phillies. Really top to bottom, they did it. Big win, game three. Rob Thompson, star. Aaron Nola, star. Ranger, star. Turner, Schwarber, Harper, JT, etc., stars! Got it done. And obviously on a game four, which will be today. Look, this is going to be a wild day in Philadelphia sports as we got both the Phillies and the Eagles tonight. We also have the start of the Flyers season. So we got a lot to get to today. We'll do it all with you on the phone lines at 215-592-9494. Obviously, we'll be heaviest on the Phillies, particularly from last night, particularly in the early portion of the show, because we got a lot to recap from last night. Hop aboard the phone lines. Let us know how you feel, what you're thinking. And I'm sure you're fired up. Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
What an unbelievable night.
Yeah, it was great. It was
Beaver
special.
Beaver teeth contain massive amounts of iron. That's why they're so tough. They're like, they can gnaw through so much because they have iron in them and it makes them orange in color.
Dare I say it? They're like the Phillies. Tough!
Wow.
All right, so look, obviously different tune than yesterday, to say the least. So let me start with where this thing started. Which was not with Trey Turner leading off the game. It started with the decision by Rob Thompson to go with Aaron Nola instead of Ranger Suarez. It worked. Congratulations to Rob Thompson, because this was a decision I wholeheartedly, dramatically, and in a very outspoken way disagreed with, and he got it right. Now, look, it doesn't mean if he had gone to Ranger to start the game, that might not have also worked, because Ranger pitched very, very well. And obviously, maybe Ranger would have given you six or seven strong, if need be, you know, from one to six or seven or eight. But the bottom line is, one of the more scrutinized and criticized decisions in recent Philly sports history by a manager or coach worked. And the basic thing about it was, while Rob Thompson didn't publicly admit it before or after yesterday's game, it's very obvious it really came down to this. Rob Thompson believed in Aaron Nola more for two innings than he believed in the sixth, seventh, eighth inning, but let's call it two innings, of Kirkering, Robertson, Strom, whomever.
That's exactly correct.
That's the bottom line. He believed in Nola more than the middle relievers. And you know what?
Wise.
And because Aaron Nola answered the bell with two clean innings, and the first one was shaky, but because it was 0-0 in the first and the second, and then because of how Rangers continued to pitch when he got in there, big props.
Except for the first pitch.
Exactly. Big props to Rob Thompson. Man, I disagreed with it, and he nailed it. And he deserves a tremendous amount of credit. And then the hitters did their job. And obviously, Ranger did his job. So it's an exciting morning, John. We wake up. We got energy. We got life. Listen, it's still scary as hell, okay? The season could still end today, but it might not. I'm proud of him. John, talk to me.
I saw Sean Payton said something. Yesterday or the day before, Sean Payton, who, you know, just beat us,
yep,
said there's a fine line between a groove and a rut. Maybe we're in a groove.
Maybe
our Phillies, maybe it took them getting hit a couple times. You know, it kind of harkens back to Rocky III. You know, the second time Rock is taking on Clubber Lang and he says, he's not getting killed, he's getting mad. Well, maybe it took a couple serious punches for us to get mad enough to do the right thing. Last night, Yamamoto came after 67 pitches. We saw lots of pitches, comparatively speaking. Yeah. You know, we weren't swinging for the fences every time. And it worked out. Things were better. Of course, it helps a lot when you got Kyle Schwarber hitting a couple dongs, you know, getting back to normal. It helps a lot when you got Bryce with a couple hits himself, but both of those hits were opposite field. Both of those hits were to the left. So he's taken the ball where it wants to go. And whenever this happens, you know, ordinarily the old adage that we always use is, okay, Bryce is heating up. He's going opposite. He's taking it where it wants to go. He's about to go on a tear.
We've seen
okay.
it. We've seen
we
it.
Have seen it.
Yeah.
The signs are there. The signs are there that this team actually timed it up.
Well, you know, well, I don't know about
that.
A little
too close for it.
There's still
a 2-1
hole.
A little too close for my taste. But the signs are there that this team could have actually timed it up to where they can play their best baseball right now.
Yeah, here's what I'll say the signs are there that I'll co-sign.
Or maybe Clayton Kershaw just really, really stinks.
Well, yeah, but their starting pitcher really gave him a not good outing, and he's way better than Clayton Kershaw in the year 2025. Here's what I know, and I knew it yesterday, and I know it today. The Phillies can win this series. The Phillies can win this series, and you know they're still in a tough spot because you know they got to win two before the other team wins one of the remaining two games or one game. But the reality is they showed last night that the Phillies are a heck of a club. I was a little frustrated yesterday. Look, I came down on them hard, and part of why I came down on them so hard in the last couple days was because I knew they could play better. We all knew that. I get a little frustrated when I hear people doubt them to the point where it's like, well, they can't, or they, you know, they,
like the just 25 calls we got yesterday,
right. You know, like,
and me
and you, you're right, right?
Like, yes,
yeah,
good point,
yeah,
yes,
right. And like, yeah, there's kind of a bunch of bums and all that stuff. Like, I never believed that. My criticism was, I believe in them more. Like, that was where my criticism, and I knew they could play better, and I'm proud to see that they did. James, talk to me.
It's amazing how one night can completely and totally turn around your opinion of a team. And it is funny, because, you know, we, at least for me, you know that over the course of the second half of the season, after the trade deadline, the way this team battled and reacted to the Wheeler injury, to the series in New York, all this stuff, like, I fell in love with this team again, and I believed in them again. And two games, and it's over. In my, and last night reminded me of the team that we saw this year, the team that battled, the team that had good at bats, Ranger freaking Suarez, man. He's one of the great playoff pitchers in the history of Philadelphia. The guy now has a 1.28 ERA in the playoffs. He has a 0.41 ERA in 23 innings on the road. Like, he is a superstar. And he, especially after giving up a first pitch home run, then settle in for five shutty from there. Like, man, that was awesome. And to see, look, they showed fight at the end of game two. And it was something that we didn't really want to embrace in the moment because they lost in such an annoying way.
Yep.
But they fought at the end of that game, and then they go out to LA with their backs against the wall, go down 1-0, and end up whooping their butts 8-2. Like, we got Sanchez on the hill tonight.
Yep.
We got the pitching advantage. Just win one more game, and we got a shot at game five here. And my one hope with that, if it can happen, is maybe the fact that all of a sudden, the pressure can shift a little bit to a team that was up 2-0 and is facing elimination there. And maybe that can maybe be something that changes the vibes at Citizens Bank Park. But you got to win tonight.
All right, listen. Well, you do have to win tonight. And I co-sign everything you said. And I'll add this, the Ranger thing. I mean, people laughed at me 4 or 5 months ago when I had Ranger in the top 10 of Philly sports. I love the guy. I believe in him. Always have. And also, we shouldn't lose sight of the Nola thing. It was only two innings. We'll never know what it would have been if he had been asked to go 5 or 6, but he did his job for his two innings. He's not complaining about only getting two innings, and it does bring into focus the next time he or Ranger comes.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Around, you know, that strategy could be utilized again. Because, again, at a very basic level, it's just Rob Thompson saying, I trust Nola more than Kirk, Greenstrom, and Robertson.
Yeah. That's maybe that's why Nola was hitting 95. Maybe it was like he knew he's only pitching 2-3 innings. Yeah. Go max out, buddy.
Absolutely.
And he looked good because of
when
it.
When he hit 95 in the first inning, I thought,
buddy.
Rhea, what are you thinking here? Talk to us.
I was just, the thing that blew my mind is that you could actually, when Schwarber hit that home run, and you know you felt awful, you know they're down 1-0, yeah. The home run, and you're thinking, oh no, this is gonna. It felt like you could see the weight lifted yeah. off of their shoulders yeah. in the dugout, and it was like, okay, all right, we got this. And by the way, Dave Roberts is a terrible manager. Can I just say this? To leave a future Hall of Fame out there for 2 innings to get destroyed.
Oh, it was awesome.
I mean, oh, I enjoyed it immensely, yeah. but I'm thinking, if I'm on that team, my manager, because he almost blew game two.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say, so I'm torn on that one.
I thought it was fine.
I hear you. The thing in his defense is it does help the Dodgers bullpen for tonight.
Oh, it does.
But I think it was a no-brainer of him in that spot.
I don't know. That's a tough one.
I was laughing.
Clayton Kershaw, you're
correct.
Leaving him in, right?
Correct.
Like,
yeah.
if his name is you know, Bob Smith, yeah. and he's just your last guy.
If it's Taiwan Walker, you're
right,
leaving him in.
That's who he was. He wasn't even on their playoff roster for the wild card round. Like, he is their Taiwan Walker. Like, that's the guy for that spot. It's just the fact that it's Kershaw on his potential
so
last
one.
Yeah,
oh, Koufax in the let's go. Yeah. Give me more of that, baby.
All right, so look, we hope it's not a reprieve that's short lived. You know, the last time we had one of these in Philly sports was when Tyrese Maxey hit his 37 points in 4 seconds yeah. to win a game. And
oh, I forgot about that.
And then the Sixers lost the next game, and like, then well, then that's it. And we got like a mini reprieve last year, if you remember. It wasn't a game where the Phillies could be eliminated, but the Phillies won a game two last year. When they were in a hole 1-0, and we felt great, and then they lost the next two, and then that was it. So I say those things to say this. We don't know where this is going. This may simply be a one-day or three-day stay of execution, but they did what they had to do. I was proud as a fan of what they did, and really, here's the way I would break it down. There were primarily three things, that had gone wrong in games 1 and 2, and I'm simplifying this a bit. But I think most people would say these were the three main things in the first two games that went wrong. Rob Thompson's decision-making, the Turner-Schwarber-Harper thing, and the middle relief thing. And the reality is that the middle relief thing didn't really have a chance or a need, I should say, to be anything last night. It wasn't a factor. I mean, you know, certain guys got in there in the eighth and ninth inning. It kind of like didn't matter, if you will. But the first two on the list of what had gone wrong in games 1 and 2 were all A-pluses last night. Rob Thompson's decisions last night, especially the decision, was an A-plus. And the Turner, Schwarber, Harper thing. And then if you want to add in a few others that joined the parade, like, you know, JT and others, guys really delivered. So I'm proud and I'm happy. And I want to hear from you today. 215-592-9494.
Bone, too. Let's not forget
absolutely.
About Bone.
Absolutely. Dude,
what a play, too.
Top three.
The catch was great.
Bone.
You're
top
right.
Four.
No,
yes.
I agree with you.
Ranger kicks and deals in the pitch. Breaking ball grounded to second. Stott has it. Flips to Turner. One on to first. Double play. Just what Ranger Suarez needed. 4-6-3.
Well, that was big. It's about the middle of the game. So what was that, James? 3-1 at that point?
Yes.
3-1, sixth inning. Massive.
Huge.
Yeah. That was big. All right. Well, I know you're having a great start to your day. And I'm happy for you. Happy for all of us as the Phils did it last night. Got to do it two more times in this series. They can. It's got a lot of calls going here. We're also going to play the montage of how it sounded last night with Fransky and T-Mac manning the play-by-play booth last night out there in Dodger Stadium. All right, let's get to Gary in Whitehall. Gary, good morning.
Morning, Joe. How you doing today?
I'm really pumped up. I'm very excited, Gary.
I'll tell you what, that Schwarbaum took a lot of weight off of those
Which
guys.
Which one?
It just landed, actually, the Schwarbaum. Just landed. I was just told.
You know, Gary, you know what it reminded me of? But it was not quite, but to it a bit. In 08, you might remember, when the Phillies would lose a game, Jimmy Rollins would hit a home run the next game to start the game. And that's what this felt like to me. When the Phillies lost game 3 to the Brewers, Jimmy hit a home run to start game 4. When the Phillies lost game 3 to the Dodgers, Jimmy hit a homer to start game 4. I mean, it had that sort of effect, and that's very important for a club. It's not just a run. It's a psychological boost. It's an
it's
emotional
a settle
boost.
Down. We yeah. got this, guys.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very, very big.
And then the stones of Ranger coming in there. I mean, Copper, I had questions about it. You know, starting Noah, and even pulling Noah after Dugas, he settled in. He was his command was spot on. His velocity was up. But hey, who am I, you know? But I don't know who's tougher, the Phillies or that guy behind the glass inside your studio there, because he needs some coffee.
Yeah, so James, you were up to what time doing the postgame last night?
We got off the air like around 1:35, 1:40, something like that.
Boy, Gary, this guy is a warrior, right?
Hey, thank goodness they won. I will tell you, I feel so much better this morning than I thought I would, considering how little sleep I got. Yeah. And it's only because they won.
So what time did you wake up?
I woke up at like 3:45. I usually get up early. I woke up at like 3:45, got up a little later. I texted Rhea, and I said, Rhea, if I am not there by a certain time, call me just in case.
I had three alarms set to call you.
She was my backup, you know, because she's always here before me. So, but yeah, it was much easier to get out of bed than I thought, and it was 100% because I was like, he won. Let's go talk about it.
Good for you, man. I love it. I appreciate your dedication. Let's listen to how it sounded last night here on WIP. Normally, we give you a Merrill montage. In this case today, a Phillies montage. Fransky does a bunch of the innings. Tom McCarthy comes in for a couple of the middle innings. Obviously, T-Mac normally on TV. So you're going to hear a combination of Fransky and T-Mac. I think there's a little bit of Kevin Stocker in here as well. Let's hear how it went down last. And I'll tell you this, early, it got a little scary early. But the Phillies did it. Let's listen to how it went down.
The Phillies in an 0-2 hole, headed on the road. It's only about winning one game tonight. Scoreless, bottom of the first. Mookie Betts, second man up here against Nola. The windup, and again the 2-2 pitch. Swung on, a little liner into center. Coming on Marsh towards left center. Right center, and he dives, and he can't get it. It goes by him, and goes to the wall. Betts off to the races. He'll round second. He's heading for third, and he's in there with a triple. It was out of the reach of Brandon Marsh, and a full-out dive. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss, struck him out. Fastball got him. And for Nola, that's strikeout number three through the first couple of innings. A 1-2-3 second, and it's on to the third at Dodger Stadium. Still scoreless. And the first pitch from Rangers swung on, hit in the air, deep left field. Kepler is back, looking up, and that is gone. 1-0 Dodgers, the first pitch thrown by Ranger Suarez. Tommy Edman hits it out.
He's from the right side. That ball's crushed. Deep to right field. Hernandez doesn't even move. It is long gone. It's off the roof of the pavilion in right field. Kyle Schwarber, his first postseason home run of the year. The Phillies tie it up at one. Swing and a line drive back toward the middle. Spinning into center field, a base hit. Harper's going around second, heading to third. Paez his throw. It's off the glove of Muncy. And it goes into the Dodgers' dugout. Harper will score. Boehm will go to third. And the Phillies have taken the lead. It's 2-1. The pitch hit in the air to left field. It's hit pretty deep. Hernandez going back. He's under it. Tagging at third is Boehm. Sacrifice fly for Brandon Marsh. And the Phillies now lead it 3-1.
The pitch swung on, hit high in the air, left field. It's deep. Kepler is back at the track, at the wall. He makes the catch in front of the scoreboard. A 1-2-3 seventh inning, and what a performance for Ranger Suarez tonight. And it's swung on, hit in the air, left field, deep. Going back to new center fielder, Dean. He's looking up, and it is gone. And JT has hit one out to left center. And the Phillies with a 4-1 lead here at the top of the eighth inning as Real Muto hammers the pitch from Clayton Kershaw. Swung on, little bloop into right center field. It's a base hit. One run will score. Castellanos coming around third. He'll score as well. It's a two-run single for Turner. And it's a three-run eighth inning for the Phillies, who now lead it 6-1. Now Kyle Schwarber. And he swings and hits one high in the air to right. It's pretty deep. Hernandez back at the track, at the wall. It's gone! It clears! And it's a two-run home run for Kyle Schwarber. And a two-homer night here in Game 3.
Let's go!
Here's Ohtani against Banks. And the first pitch is popped up. Shallow right. Coming on is Castellanos. He's waiting. And the ball game is over as Castellanos makes the grab. Ohtani makes the final out. And there will be one more game for the Phillies at least as they beat the Dodgers tonight in Los Angeles, an 8-2 final.
Well, tremendous job by the Phillies. And we thank our man Lewis Coco putting that together for us early this morning. Great job by the Phillies. And certainly one of the added benefits of how it went down last night, you didn't have to use DeRon. Now, you know, a little bit of use in the sense that he got, you know, warmed up there in the bullpen. I don't think he warmed up all the way.
I agree.
But he was getting closer.
Because JT hit that homer right away, and then they got Kirkring up immediately, and you have to think he kind of starts to cool it down a bit, and then they started scoring runs. So I'm with you, Joe. I think it was not.
Yeah.
I think it was okay.
It's a mini warm-up, but nothing that I would say should affect tonight. I think
didn't get hot, as they say.
I think he's good for two innings tonight. And that's awesome. So, you know, you hope that the process of Sanchez right to DeRon, but look, these playoff games, anything can happen. Great job by the Phils last night.
They've had chances. The 2-1 pitch. Swung on. Little bloop into right center field. It's a base hit. One run will score. Castellanos coming around third. He'll score as well. It's a two-run single for Turner. And it's a three-run eighth inning for the Phillies, who now lead it 6-1.
Well, just a tremendous job by the Phillies. Really in every way last night. The lineup, the pitching, the manager, they answered the bell. And they did it in a very big way. And we're super psyched about it. Hey, this segment on WIP presented by Paramount Plus. You cannot count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL. To get started. Well, this segment, you're going to hear from Rob Thomson and the many things he said after the game last night when he met with the assembled media. Of course, tonight we also have an Eagles game. So we want to hear from you on the Phillies front. You know, what stood out to you, what your basic reaction is, your emotional edge after that Phillies win last night. Talk to us at 215-592-9494. Phone line's also there for you on the Eagles on a game day. Eagles and Giants tonight, John. I mean, it's one that should be comfortable. I imagine the Eagles will get back to their bread and butter, which is a more balanced offense. Now, Saquon, is he a little banged
I
up?
Hope.
I don't know. But, yeah, I think it's enough of trying whatever that was, and let's just play Eagles football, right?
Well, I sure hope so. You know, it seems like we've sort of brought ourselves to the Giants level historically, and I hope that doesn't happen again. I still think that we're the best team in the NFL. I think that we should be able to show that against this team tonight. I think that for the first time this year, we should finally show some serious ground game, chewing up clock. Whether it's Saquon, whether it's A.J. Dillon, whether I don't know exactly. I know that the Giants give up 140 yards a game on the ground, and they don't tackle that well, and it's a get-right game for our running game, if you ask me. So I'm looking forward to that part, and I think we'll just grind it out, grind them down, and work out some of the kinks from, licking our wounds from the game against
the Eagles thing squarely on the table. Talk to us, 215-592-9494. One thing I'm looking for from the Eagles, and I think they will accomplish it, and I'll be pretty dismayed if they don't, is because I think they're going to win the game, and I think if we said, hey, do you think the Eagles are going to beat the Giants? We'd all say, yeah, of course they're going to beat the Giants, right? But how about they outgained the Giants in yards? If you don't know, the Eagles have been outgained in all five games.
It's an amazing
stat. But they win handily.
Right?
You know, how about it's just an easy win?
Totally.
You know, you're way better than this team. Just handle business.
Totally with you. So I think you can tell our viewpoint of it. Give us your viewpoint. Eagles, Giants today. We will have Jason Kelce in studio next hour starting around 7:30. We'll do mostly Phillies with Jason. He's obviously a huge Phillies fan, but we'll do some Eagles with him as well. All right, Rob Thomson, what he said after the game last night. We'll get to that shortly. Let's talk to Amy right now in Ridley. Amy, good morning.
Hi, morning team. It's Amy from Villanova.
Good morning, Amy from Villanova, who's not Amy from Villanova.
Wow.
Hello.
Exactly. Good morning. How are you guys today?
Hi, Amy.
Amy from Villanova finally calling the show.
Yeah.
This is great.
This is
what a thrill.
Yeah.
Amy.
I always seem to miss you.
That's funny.
So, Amy, you're saying that you are not the beloved Amy from Villanova that Joe is so fond of.
Absolutely
correct.
Not the beloved Amy from Villanova, but I'm very beloved anyway.
That's
I love
awesome.
The absolutely not, just like absolutely not. Okay.
Yeah. We certainly appreciate you calling.
But
Amy,
let's be real. If there wasn't the other Amy from Villanova, you know,
I feel some chemistry.
You know, you never know. All right, Amy, what do you got on the
This is fun. It's fun.
what do you got on the Phils? I know you're pumped up. Talk to us.
I'm just super excited. You know, I know a lot of people the other day were just like, they were done. My son was at the game when they couldn't score in the ninth inning. I was watching it on FaceTime with them, you know, because I couldn't be there. So he called me to catch the ninth inning. Unfortunately, it didn't end the way we wanted, but I'm still confident. I'm confident we can go out tonight. Our top four hitters last night had great hits, and they got to just keep doing that. It's the only way we're going to win. My dilemma tonight is my daughter's senior field hockey night at Ridley that starts at 6 o'clock.
Oh, no.
So what do you do?
That's okay. I have my phone. It will be on, and I just have to find a way to focus on both.
How long does the event last?
Well, you know, you have the ceremonies where they announce everybody, and then the game starts at 7. So,
oh, my goodness. Amy.
It's going to be hard. But it honestly won't be the first game that me and all the other moms and dads have had the game on our phones in the stands. And our daughters know we're passionate sports people, so
good.
They get it.
Good.
You know.
I do know. I've been in that kind of spot a few times in life.
I've been there many times.
Well, you've been there a ton, John.
Oh, yeah. We watched a playoff game at Matt Battle's wedding. It was a bunch of WIP people just watching Jack Fritz's phone. It was the Padres-Philly series.
Crazy. Hey, Amy, call us again when you can and enjoy every element of tonight.
Last thing I want to say is go Phils, go Eagles, and go Ridley Field Hockey and my daughter Addison. Let's go.
All right, love it, Amy. Good work right there. Congrats to Addison on her senior year and getting through the field hockey and winding it down. That's awesome stuff. All right, let's listen to Topper. Oh, boy, he was criticized a lot. I thought he was a major star last night. Look, the bottom line, here's the bottom line. He got it right. You might not have liked it on the way in. We can't know for sure that if it had gone the way many of us wanted with Rangers starting, that it wouldn't have worked anyway. But we know this. It worked. What he did worked. Nola two innings, Ranger for a bunch of innings after that. Could have gone to Ranger in the eighth. Could have gone to Duran in the eighth. Didn't need to because obviously the lead was so big. So it makes sense on a lot of fronts. By the way, I think you now maybe have Ranger for an inning or two if you need him in game five. That's an exciting element. So a lot of stuff worked out last night. Let's listen to Rob Thompson, about a six-minute press conference. It was very late last night. What went down? Here's what he said.
Hi, Rob. Going into eighth, was it your plan to get six outs from Duran? And if so, how big was that offensive outburst in saving him potentially for tomorrow?
Yeah, that's what we were going to do, especially starting at bats, I believe. We started in the eighth. Once we had it on, went to Kirk, and Kirk threw the ball great, so... Yeah, it saved Duran for tomorrow.
Fresh up in the middle.
Rob, what was the plan with Nola and Suarez coming in, and how close did they come to executing it exactly what you wanted?
Yeah, they pretty much did exactly what we wanted. We wanted to use those guys to get as close to Duran as we could to save some of the bullpen for tomorrow if we won. Nola was really good. The plan was to go one time through the lineup, and Ranger is on Ohtani. Ended at with Edmonds leading off the third, so he's 1-for-20 with 9 strikeouts against Ranger. So he hit the first pitch out of the ballpark. So, they executed perfectly.
Very good, Marcus Sekiro.
How satisfying is it for you as a manager to come into a game that you have to win, literally a must win, and have an unorthodox plan work out pretty much perfectly?
Yeah, it really is. And I give credit to the players for sure. You know, our offense was really good. We swung the bats. We had good at-bats up and down the lineup. The first four guys in the lineup were, 9-for-16? They kept grinding. They kept adding on. We had chances in other innings than the innings that we scored. So they just put pressure on them all night long. And, yeah, Nola, Suarez, Kirkering, even Taiwan threw the ball well. He didn't really give up much exit velo, but they got some hits off him. And then, you know, Banks throws one pitch. So I thought we really played well all around.
Right here in the first row.
Rob, you guys seem to be pretty aggressive with, Yamamoto early. Can you talk about that kind of get the guys into the flow at the plate, being able to attack fastballs right away?
Yeah, I think we had good at bats against them for sure, and we got them into some counts where we expected some fastballs, and I think the Schwarber home run just sort of woke everybody up and got a lot of energy going in the dugout.
Okay, Marcus, second row.
Part of your job as a manager is to get guys sort of able to flush what happened earlier. And you guys said you lost four in a row, I think.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Season, yeah. And you came out here and they seem to be, I don't know, focused, refreshed. I don't know. I mean, do you take a degree of satisfaction in that as well?
Well, they're an experienced group of guys, so they've been through this a little bit. And the one thing they did, I think, is they stayed in the moment, stayed relaxed. If you stay in the moment, trust the process, trust your teammates, and not really focus on the result, you have a better chance of getting to the result. And they did that. So I'm happy with them.
Did you, re-impress that upon them over the last couple of days?
I think they do it inside the clubhouse very well. You know, the veteran guys, they spread the word and one game at a time. And that's kind of our motto today.
Okay, Paul.
Rob, I know you announced it after game two, but when did the NOLA Ranger plan kind of first start to come together, how long ago?
Well, it didn't happen until after game two, because we wanted to figure out where we were at, you know, after that game, and then we sat down and talked about it and tried to figure out, okay, how do we navigate this lineup with using both those guys, and that's sort of what we came up with.
And then the fourth inning there, you guys don't have a hit yet. They just took the lead. How big is that Schwarber home run? And can one swing in a short series like that kind of turn everything around?
Yeah, it could. And we'll see about the rest of the series. But, certainly we had – I thought we had hit some balls hard prior to that too. Some balls deep, almost to the wall, to the warning track. So we're on Yamamoto decent. But I did think we had good at-bats and, you know – Yeah, the lineup woke up.
And just one more, Duran, I know you mentioned earlier, Dave Roberts was just sitting here and said, I would have loved to get him in the game. If he pitched two tonight, what would he have been available for tomorrow?
Well, one, if any.
Okay, I'm going to go back to Marcus quick.
excuse me. There's been a lot of – you've taken a lot of criticism the last three seasons, including this one.
I have?
Yes. For some of the decisions you've made and they haven't worked out. So the way the guys played as well. Have you felt that pressure going into, especially tonight, which was an elimination game? And has it affected you at all?
I don't think so. You know, I think that's part of this job, is that you make decisions, you plan it out. It's not like we're throwing stuff up in the air, but you plan it out. If it doesn't work, then, yeah, there's criticism there. That's just part of the gig. It really is.
And finally, the uniforms, are you going to stay in the powder blues forever?
Well, not necessarily, because it's Major League Baseball's decision, depending on the home team's home uniform. Based on tonight, I would. But if their home colors are match up with our powder blues, then they won't let us use them.
Who's that here on the right?
The pitch clock violation, what kind of went into that? There was an argument about it, and at the time that was a pretty big at-bat.
Yeah, huge at-bat. And I think in that situation, I think you got to have a little bit of leniency because, you know, Bohm's at first base. He gets an intentional walk. The clock starts right away. Now he's trying to get his glove on, his sliding mitt. And so Marsh is watching him. Assuming, you shouldn't assume, but assuming that they're not starting anything until he's ready. But, you know, the time ran out. But I think that there should be a little bit of feel there.
And then the second run you score, it's after Harper goes first to third, the throw gets away. Do you like him rolling the dice there, and what can kind of being aggressive do in a game like this?
Yeah, I think, you know, you have to be aggressive. Sometimes you got to force the issue a little bit, and you know, he did and caused an error and got us a couple more runs.
Okay, last one, Marcus.
Probably the biggest story of the postseason, despite the Dodgers winning, is that Shohei's, I think, 1-for-14 with 7 strikeouts against you guys. Has the plan sort of worked, or is it a combination of maybe he's not where you expect him to be at this point?
Yeah, I really don't want to comment on that because, I mean, he can explode at any time. He's that great of a hitter. But, you know, we have pitched him well.
Okay. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
Now, that's Rob Thompson last night. Look, he was a real star of last night. I was a huge skeptic going into the game with his plan, and the bottom line is it flat out worked. And it's very clear what his objective was. It was to use Nola for 2 innings instead of 2 innings of the combination of Strom, who had let them down in this playoff, Kerkering, who had let them down in the playoff, and Robertson, who had let them down in the playoffs. I mean, that at a basic level, that's what it was about. Whether you agreed with it or disagreed with it going in, that's what it was about. And it worked. So good for Rob Thompson. It's a big win for him in many ways. Now, the next decision he has to make is about who's the third outfielder tonight. So let's get to this as part of the Twitter poll question of the day, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. We actually got 3 different questions today. The first is, who wins tonight, Phillies or Dodgers? The second is, if you don't know, and hopefully you know, the Flyers season starts tonight. So we ask really a pretty typical question this time of the year, every year in the last 10 years about the Flyers. We never used to ask this when I was a kid, but we ask it now all the time. Will the Flyers make the playoffs this season? Yes or no? I'll be very curious to see where the results of that poll go. Do you think the Flyers make the playoffs this year? Yes or no? Now let's get to the here and now. Because before this game tonight is even determined, the outcome, the first decision that needs to be made is who's the third outfielder. Against Shohei Ohtani, you know for sure Marsh is going to start. You know for sure Kepler is going to start. We also know that Castellanos struggled big time last night. We also know Otto Kemp struggled in game 2. And we also know Sosa and Weston Wilson are, you know, only so good. So we ask you this question. Who should get that spot? 4 choices. Casty, Kemp, Sosa, Wilson. Rhea, your instincts. Casty, Kemp, Sosa, Wilson. Who do you go with?
I don't want Sosa in the outfield. I'm not thrilled about Wilson. I mean, they're probably going to start Castellanos, but I would go Wilson.
So I actually think I would go with Castellanos, but believe me, I feel dirty about it. But we can't act like any of these guys are all that good. I kind of like the role Sosa can play coming off the bench. And I was really disappointed with what Kemp gave them in game 2. And I got to remind myself, like, Weston Wilson is a classic 25th, 26th guy on a team. So I actually would go to Cassie. James, he was horrendous last night.
Yeah, I thought it. Remember yesterday you asked who I thought would start, and I thought it would be Cassie. I think it'll be Cassie again tonight. I know he was horrendous last night. He had the big hit, the you know, game 2.
Yep.
And
but the defense last night was scary as hell.
Terrifying, dude. He is. But at the same time, like, Otto Kemp in left field is not good. You know, Wes Wilson is not a great fielder either way. Like, the defensively, none of these guys are great. I'm with you. I it'd be Cassie or Wilson for me, and I'd probably just roll Cassie out there.
John Wilson or Cassie?
You know, I think I got to go Weston Wilson. You know, like,
It's not unreasonable.
Why not Weston Wilson? I know. I think I know what I'll get with Casty. I don't want to count on him reaching again for the low and away to try to uncork that thing. I have no idea how he even got a bat on that thing. Everyone knows he's going to swing and miss low and away again and again and again.
I do say to myself, though, who do I think is more likely to pop a homer?
Yeah.
Casty or Weston Wilson? Yeah. I think it's Casty. I feel pretty confident of that. So
Wilson is pinch hit more, so you know he's more comfortable pinch hitting and all
that.
We're
gonna play small ball. Weston Wilson can give you a lot better chances to get home when you're bunting.
Yeah, look, he's better defensively, he's better on the base paths, you know, all that stuff.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.